Morning, church.
Morning, Bob.
How's everybody this morning?
Good.
The green side of the grass. Thank you, Lord.
Green side of the grass is good. That's a good thing. So I'm going to start this morning with just a little tiny humorous story. It's been around for a while. You may or may have not heard it, but it's a good place to start for us this morning. Excuse me. A New England high school teacher taught a course entitled "The Bible as Literature." Only seniors in the top 10% of the class could take this course. A pretest was given to evaluate the students' biblical knowledge. One student defined the epistles as the wife of the apostles. A pastor was so humored by this answer that he shared it during his next sermon. One of the church members approached him afterwards and asked, "If the epistles weren't the wives of the apostles, whose wives were they?" Just so you know, an epistle is a book written by an apostle, a letter written by an apostle. Matthew, John, Peter, and Paul are good examples of that. So as humorous as this story is, there's a very real spiritual disadvantage expressed here, one that makes understanding the Bible difficult. And it comes from not knowing the beautiful truths that that book holds. It's amazing. There can be a tendency of some people to blindly follow after others. It's easy to do, especially if what they're saying sounds reasonable, makes sense, possibly. It's so easy to sit in a pew and listen to someone else preach and say, that's the word of God right there. Okay, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, let's look at something Jesus said. Luke chapter 6, pick up in verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they both not fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Verse 39 is a great analogy for one teaching falsely and one blindly following, right? Not knowing the real truth could end them up somewhere they really don't want to be for eternity. That's scary, guys. That's very scary to think about. Now, verse 40 can be taken two ways, right? The first way, all right, one way a student or a hearer can become a false teacher because of what they're hearing. And they say, "Well, that sounds good. That sounds reasonable. Let me go and proclaim that as well," when it's really nothing. Never bothering to seek out the truth for themselves. Just kind of saying, "Okay, well, whatever they said must be true. They're in a position where they can say that." Right? Jeremiah 14:15. "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them." Okay, leaning on their own understanding. You know, can you just picture up there God listening to these people and saying, "I never said that. Where'd they get that idea? It's nothing I said, nothing I wrote. You won't find it in my word. Where'd they get that idea?" Many people do. Many people do. We'll see a passage on that a little later. The other way is one knowing the truth of the word, and because they listened to one preaching the truth of the word, and they sought out for themselves to back up that truth, and they prayed about it, they prayed for guidance, they prayed for wisdom, they read the Bible, they reread the Bible, they're finding the truth. Since they learned the truth, they're able to pass that truth on to others. Not only to pass it on, but when people have a question, you can open the book and say, "Look, here's the truth right here. This is what I'm teaching you. And this is what God taught me. So now I'm passing it on to you." And that's what God wants to see, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." Isn't that awesome? Listen to that. "Present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Accurately is the key word there. Accurately. The way God said it is the way that I want to say it. The way God said it is, whoever learns from me is the way that they should be said. Bottom line. One of the best ways, if not the very best way, to get guidance in is praying to the Holy Spirit before you even start reading. Ask him for guidance. Ask him for wisdom. All right? 2 Peter chapter 1, pick up in verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. I said earlier that we're going to touch on something right there about people saying what they feel God should say. Well, you know, God said this, but, you know, I don't think it should go that way. I think it should go this way. That's their own interpretation. They're taking that interpretation and they're falsely putting it out to other people. And what happens? Those people falsely put it out to other people. And it goes on. It's a snowball effect. It goes on and on and on. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All right? Praying for the Holy Spirit's guidance is, that's how we accurately find out what the truth is. After all, he's the one that put the book together. I would think he knows what he's talking about. He's God. He put the word together, right? So when you're in the word, and sometimes you might come across a passage that maybe it's a little difficult, you don't understand it. Pray about it, number one. Find someone who knows about it, someone you trust to be in the word and guide you to the truth. Okay, God will reveal it to you. God will reveal it to you. Sometimes when you're listening, you get this little feeling in your gut that's like, something doesn't make sense. Something's not right here. Seek it out for yourself. Pray about it. God will lead you to the truth because he wants nothing more than his people to know his truth. That's what he desires. Try not to blindly follow. Don't be a blind follower. Pray about it first. You'll get the answers. You know, one thing that God loves is persistence in his word. He loves that. He will lift the veil of blindness over passages that maybe you have a difficulty understanding. Maybe you've heard someone to say, and you kind of get that feeling. It's like, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. Pray about it. Open the word. God will take care of it. He is true and faithful. He wants you to know his word. That's why he wrote it. He didn't write it because he had nothing better to do. He was sitting up there crossing his legs and having a glass of orange juice and saying, you know, I should write a book. We've come across that, right? People like that. I'm going to write a book one of these days. God gave us a book. He gave us a book intentionally for a specific purpose so that they will get to know me. Now it leads me to another little humorous story that I found. A few years ago, an aggressive Google Maps driving direction led to dozens of drivers getting stuck in the mud on the way to Denver International Airport. A large crash in Aurora, Colorado, caused GPS applications like Google Maps to search for a quicker route to the airport. About 100 drivers seemed to be following smartphone directions on a dirt road. Unbeknownst to the mapping program or the drivers, the private dirt road was completely blocked after a recent heavy rainfall. Most of the motorists became stuck behind a few cars that had become bogged down in the mud. During a later interview, one driver was noted as saying, my thought was, well, there's all these other cars in front of me, so it must be okay. So I just kept going. Blindly following, not knowing where you are. Blindly following, and what? Getting stuck. Getting stuck because you blindly followed somebody. You didn't pick it up for yourself. And there, here's something that's not even human telling you where to go. Go this way. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. Beep. And then all of a sudden, you follow that way, and I'm stuck. Thank you, Google Maps. Thank you, AI. Thank you for that. You know, it's a great story about what we've been talking about. Following blindly only leads to getting stuck where you don't want to be. And there's a sad reality to that. Many people, when they reach the point of being stuck in Scripture, they close the book and they put it on a high shelf somewhere in a bookcase and they just forget about it. Or here's another one. And I'm sure you've seen this before because I've seen it. I'm sure you have. You go into someone's home and on the coffee table is this pristine Bible. And it has a beautiful, clean, perfect white cover and all these beautiful gold edges. And one thing it does not have, fingerprints. That's our Bible. It's just too beautiful. Isn't it beautiful to look at? You know what my answer is to that? I give him an old worn out Bible and say, here, you know, this one may not be pristine and perfect, but at least you won't be worried about getting it dirty. Open it up and get into it. Read it. You know, what I love to see, I've given away a ton of Bibles. Actually, God gave them through me. Ton of Bibles. And what I love to see week after week is that book getting used and that book getting worn. You know, the cover doesn't creak anymore when they open it up. All the gold edging on there is starting to wear off a little bit. You know, the pages are folded, they're dog-eared, they're written on. Love to see that. I'd love to see that. That's the Bible God wants his people reading. One that gets used. One that gets used. God did not put his word together and say, you know what? This book would look great on a coffee table. And I don't want people touching it. You know, they touch it, boy, there's going to be consequences to pay. Oh, come on. That's not our God. God says, I don't want that book on a coffee table. Okay, you can put it there, but make sure you read it. Make sure you read it. Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. You know, over the years, I've picked up a few of those how-to books, right? I wanted to do a project. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't want to screw it up. I'll go get a book that tells me how to do it. And it did. Anyway, I probably still screwed it up, you know, even looking at the book. That's what us guys do, you know. We just scan through the directions, and then we start putting things together. And then when they don't work, so maybe I should go back and read the book, read the how-to book. It's exactly what the Bible is. It's God's how-to book. It's God's how-to book. It teaches us everything we have to know. How to make our way prosperous, how to find success in him, praying before we even get into it, praying for understanding, and God will make it known to us. He will reveal things to us. Isaiah, listen to Isaiah 30. Pick up in verse 22. This is an awesome, awesome verse. He, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it, wherever you turn, to the right or to the left. Isn't that awesome? He is your teacher. He, capital H being God, capital T being teacher, will no longer hide himself. Isn't that an awesome verse? Knowing that, you know, we talked about that in Bible study this morning. And what blocks your way? What hides God from you? Pray about it. God will take it out of the way. He will take it out of the way. Just like God told Joshua, meditate on it day and night. Meditate on the word. Get into the word. You know, you may not gain understanding right away, but as you read and you reread, the Holy Spirit will give you the understanding. You can count on it. Count on it because God wants you to know him. He desires that you know who he is. All he's done. All he continues to do. All that's going to happen in the future. He wants us to know that stuff. He wants us prepared. What's the way that we prepare our own way through the Word. God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. You know, that's something that really God wishes that everyone would get through their thick little heads. Jesus is coming back. You got to get to know Him. Two scriptures. Proverbs 24:5. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. Wisdom in the Word makes one not only wise, but spiritually strong. Physical strength is great. Working out, doing all that stuff, physical strength is great. What's better? What's stronger? What's more powerful? Spiritual strength. And God says, it's right here. I'll give it to you. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. By the grace of God, everything in this book is how to gain life there. While we're still living here, everything in that book points to it. Now, listen to this. Listen to Psalm 144:3. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you think of him? God is so concerned about knowing us. Shouldn't we return the favor and say, God, you know me inside and out. You know me up and down, back and forth, pick away. You know me, God. I want to know you in the same way. And God loves that. He's up there applauding you. So it's real easy. Open the Word. Open the book. Open the book. Listen, church, I know I've given many messages about getting into His Word, and there's times, sometimes I have this great idea to write about something else, right? Then all of a sudden I get this swift kick in the rear that says, write about my Word. Talk about my Word. Usually I say, well, I just did that 2 weeks ago. Well, do it again. Someone needs to hear it. So here it is, guys. I'm just following orders. Just following orders. I'm listening to the chief, the boss, the commander. There is so much pure truth to find in the Word of God. And there's something else you will find. True, beautiful, biblical harmony. How the Old Testament and the New Testament harmonize so beautifully. How book after book after book harmonizes with each other so beautifully. Awesome, awesome, awesome to know. Let me end here with three scripture passages together. Something I love to do. And listen, three separate passages right here. One writer, okay, Paul wrote all these things, but he was so persistent about preaching the truth that these three verses, three separate books, are like they should be in one book, in one paragraph. Let's look at it. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Biblical knowledge, it's awesome. Biblical harmony, it's awesome. And it's all in there. It's all in the Word. And you know what, guys? There's a whole bunch more where that came from. We have a book full of it. We have a book full of it. And it's just God saying, look, I didn't put the book together for nothing. Get into it. Let's go to God in prayer. We thank you, Father God, for the beautiful harmony in your Word, for the knowledge it gives us. And pray, Father God, that when we do get into the Word, that we do pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance and leadership. We know, Father God, that we have the scripture that says He's the one that put the book together. If He's the one that put the book together the way you spoke it, what better person to ask than to pray to Him for guidance as we get through? Thank you for being so amazing, Father God, and giving us the truth of the Word. For giving us a way, Father God, the way that you want us to walk. The knowledge of everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. And, Father God, what's going to happen in the future. Because we know that we know that we know that if we look in your word, Jesus Christ is coming back. There's a whole bunch of scriptures and a whole bunch of books, even the New Testament and the Old Testament, they talk about that. There's a Messiah coming, and we are waiting for the Messiah. In the meantime, Father God, guide us through your truth. It's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we can do for anyone to get them closer to God through his word, come as we stand and sing.